right. Well, thanks, team, for leading us. It's the real joy to get together to worship and to sing of our God's grace and His mercy and His goodness to us. How's everybody doing? Everybody doing pretty good? Good. Good to see you. It's good to be together this morning. And just a few announcements that I wanted to draw to your attention. Well, actually, we're going to do this in the form of just, are there ways in through 2 Timothy, where we have been journeying through this summer, this letter that Paul has written to Timothy, who is a young pastor, and he's writing from a perspective of that he's about to die. He is expecting it. It's going to be soon, and he wants to bring encouragement to this one who he has given, who is giving his life to continuing to share and proclaim and preach the gospel, of which Paul has done with his whole life. And it's this example that we see where Paul is pouring into him, and he's calling Timothy to continue to pour into others who will then be able to continue to teach and preach the gospel. And he's looking forward to finally making it home, where he's going to see his Heavenly Father face to face. And what a day that is going to be, what a day that will be for every single one of us. And as we've been journeying through this, I have been so encouraged through it, especially in this season, as we've been going through it all around the world in this pandemic, and in need of encouragement. We're all in need of encouragement, and these times are challenging, they're different, maybe frustrating, discouraging, all of those kinds of things. And here, Paul's words to Timothy have been such an encouragement through these days just as well. Listen to these words, lyrics written by Fanny Crosby. She was a blind 18th century hymn writer. And this is from her hymn entitled, My Savior First of All. She writes this, when my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side. And His smile will be the first to welcome me. Through the gates of the city in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages, I shall mingle with the light, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. And you just think what that must be like, you know, from the perspective of someone who has never seen for her whole life. And here she is just writing what she's looking forward to in being able to see her Savior face to face. That's her first sight, is just to get to see Jesus like that. What a glorious and amazing thought that is. And that's sort of what I think this is what Paul is writing to us. And it's this picture of, you know, here, we're waiting for that day whenever we're going to get to see Jesus face to face. We're here, and we're here in this life now. And what are we going to do with that in view? How are we going to live this life? Are we going to live our lives trusting and looking forward to in anticipation of that? I remember back when I was 19, 20 years old in college, and I was over in China and Southeast Asia, down in Hong Kong, and serving over there at that time. And there was this girl back home here in Pennsylvania serving down at Rose Grove as a camp counselor. And she had captured my heart. She was my friend, closest, dearest person in my life. I could not wait to get to be with her. And what do you think? How do you think that impacted my life then? It was like, I was telling people about her. I was showing her a picture to people. I was like, yeah, no. And I could not wait to get back to talk. And so that impacted my life for sure, that there was this person that I couldn't wait to see, but I was waiting. And it was looking forward to that. And even still to this day, just looking forward to the times whenever we get to be together. And in the same way, isn't that maybe just in part what it's like, is we're looking forward to seeing our Savior's face. We're looking forward to that day. And so with that in mind, then, that's how is that going to impact our lives here and now. And so as Paul's writing to Timothy, he is encouraging him to keep on going, to endure for the day whenever he's going to see his Savior face to face, and so that others might see his glorious face also. And so we're going to jump to chapter 4 here towards the end, to the end of the letter. But before we get there, we're going to pause and just read through a few verses here in chapter 3. And here's the reason that all this encouragement is needed. That everything that we've been at in chapter 2, it's been about, you know, working hard, giving your best, living in such a way so as not to disqualify yourself. Last week we talked about pursuing holiness and gentleness. And here he's saying this is why this is really important in verse 1 of chapter 3. He says this, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. There wasn't a question about this. Things were going to be difficult. Things were going to be hard. Things are still hard. These days are still going. And then he describes what they're going to be like, and he says it's going to be like this, verse 2. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That was what it was like then as to what Paul is writing to Timothy. He's like, there's going to be these days. There are these days. These days are still continuing, right? We just look around. It's the same story right now going on. It could be like he's writing about right now. And here's the contrast. The key issue is that there are lovers of self, there are lovers of pleasure, and there are those who are lovers of God. In verse 5, it keeps on going. It says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And he's saying there are those who are going to seem to look good on the outside, but on the inside, it's all just a show. He says, avoid such people. Be careful. Stay away from those types of folks. This is the world that Timothy lived in, and it's the world in which we live in. And Paul's letter is to encourage Timothy to be ready, aware, and do what he must continue to do so that he runs the race well to the finish line. And so, in the passages that follow, in the rest of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4, he continues to encourage Timothy to follow his example, to remember all the things that he has been taught when he was young, a young man, and to hold fast to the Holy Scriptures, which he is to faithfully preach and proclaim. That's his encouragement. He says, keep on going. In light of all of this. Do these things. And so, here we are in chapter 4, verses 9 through 18. And what we're going to talk about here in these few verses is really what the Bible is all about. It's what we want to focus on this morning, and it's about relationships. So starting at verse 9, chapter 4, here's what Paul writes to him. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with the present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. And when you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. And beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. So as we come to this final passage and final four verses of this letter that Paul is writing to Timothy, he ends it in a similar fashion as to how he started this letter. He gets personal and he shares with them, and you get a sense of the value that relationships were to him. And I believe that this is really left in here. It's not left out of the letter because it's super important to Paul and his running of the race and running it with faithfulness and perseverance. In Christian relationships and Christian community are of great importance to every single one of us while we wait for the day. They are a gift. They're a gift of God. Not everyone may have the opportunity for them, but we do have them, and what a gift they are. And look at how Paul starts this letter as he spoke of Timothy. In chapter 1, if you turn back just a page or two, 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 and 4, he says this, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience. As I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, as I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. There's this longing as Paul is sitting in prison and he's readying himself to die. He's taking the lead and he's writing to Timothy and he's saying, do your best to come to me soon. He's saying, hurry up, come, I want to see you. Time is of the essence. there's two things here that are on the Apostle Paul's mind, right? It's not money, it's not possessions, it's not a lot of things, maybe success in the world's eyes that are on his mind right here at the end of the life, whenever things that are important and what's really important rise to the surface. But what's important? It's his relationship with God, and it's his relationship with others, with people. Those are the two things that matter greatly to him. And this isn't just now that it has been important, but numerous times throughout his letters, we get a whole sense of this over and over. To the Romans, he wrote this, he says, I long to see you. He says, I've longed for many years to come to you. To the Philippians, he says, I love and long for you, my joy and my crown. To the Thessalonians, he writes this, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. The reason, and the only reason we have this letter, is because of the partnership of the gospel that these two have. It's because of a relationship that they have with one another. Friendships are a key part of the Christian life through which we find encouragement to keep going and through which we are spurred on towards holiness and good deeds. It's a gift that must not be taken lightly, and in its deepest level, it's when we find someone headed in the same direction as we're headed, and the Christian life is all-encompassing. And it's all whenever we find someone else and others who are seeking to honor and to know the Lord with their lives. C.S. Lewis, he wrote it this way, friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. And so I believe that spiritual or Christian friendship is the deepest of all kinds of friendships. Von Roberts, in his book entitled True Friendship, he writes this, Christians have the ultimate common passion and shared goal, which encompasses the whole of life. We have been called as brothers and sisters to belong to Christ's family. As we travel along the way of the cross throughout our lives, with our eyes fixed on the destination of the new creation to come, which Christ will introduce when he returns. It is a long journey with many challenges along the road, and we will often fall and need someone to pick us up, waver and need someone another to spur us on. And so let us resolve, therefore, to obey the Bible's instruction. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's what Christian friendship is. And I know I've been blessed hugely by that. As I even here, just look around, just people who have poured into him, been dear friends, and because of them, just continuing to keep on going, even in the discouraging and disappointing times, to know that here there are folks who are praying and saying, here, keep on going. And so it's so important for every single one of us what Paul is ending his letter with here that comes up. And he points to and comments on the blessings and the challenges that there are in these relationships and these friendships. There are those who are faithful, he says. There are those who are great and who have been a great encouragement to me in my life. He's talking about Timothy, his dear son in the faith, that he has such a great love for, that he's writing this letter to. There's a richness of this friendship that is made possible because of the amount of time that they have spent together. But there are the others who have been encouraging. There's Crescens. He names him. We don't know anything really about him. There's a guy named Titus to Dalmatia. He's a dear friend to Paul. And as you look to the next page, you see that there's this letter that he wrote to Titus. He calls Titus his true child in the common faith. In verse 5, Paul indicates that he trusts him with giving leadership to some churches. He goes on. There's another guy named Tychicus who he sent to Ephesus. We don't know much about him, but we know that he is a man who delivered the letters to the Ephesians and to the Colossians. And these guys are all an encouragement. Here he says there's Luke is with them. In verse 11, Paul tells us that Luke is there, and what a faithful example of a man that has been with Paul through so much. Go on to verse 11, there's Mark who is with him. He is very, very useful to me. We don't have time to get into the whole story, but at one point they had a disagreement. They didn't see things in the same way, but here we see that they can still be good friends and they can still spur one another on and be useful towards for the sake of the gospel. There's another guy named Carpus. There's all these folks, but there are those who are joy at first, but then at the same time can become and be also a discouragement, as he talks about Demas here in verse 10. He was once listed in being very much a part of what was going on, but now we're told that he's no longer there. There's a story there. And there are those who are just discouragements that we need to be aware of. He brings up this guy named Alexander, who did great harm, and so we need to be aware of that. And for the sake of time, we're going to jump right down here to the application of this all. As Christian friendships and partnerships are a gift, what are some applications that we can make for our lives in this? First, I want to encourage you to take the lead. Take the lead in pursuing these relationships, in these friendships. Do you see how Paul is taking the lead in writing to Timothy and calling him to get Mark to come to him? His love for Timothy and Mark, I believe, are to encourage Timothy in his faith and ministry. It's what I believe is motivating him to call on these guys. I don't think he's just saying, hey, let's get together so we can go out and play some games and news and just hang out. No, he's writing them because he's got some work. They've got some work to do. He's got some encouragement to give because this is what we need to all be about. And so I want to encourage you to take the lead in your relationships with brothers and sisters and being purposeful and encouraging each other towards Christ-likeness. And so it goes both ways. How are you building up others and how are you being built up by others? I shared this quote from Gordon MacDonald regarding the true goal of Christian friendship before, and he says this, "There is a certain niceness to a friendship where I can be, as they say, myself. But what I really need are relationships in which I will be encouraged to become better than myself. Myself needs to grow a little each day. I don't want to be the myself I was yesterday. I want to be the person that is developing each day to be more of a Christ-like person." And so here's some questions I want to ask you. Who are you in a relationship with that you are being encouraged by to grow more and more in Christ-likeness? Who is there? Who is there that you have a close relationship with that's going to spur you on in that? Who are you taking the lead with for that purpose? Who is it that you're taking the lead and pouring into them for that? Who are you open to being encouraged by in this way? Who are those people? Just to think about that. Secondly, our spiritual friendships are precious, and so as we see here in this letter between Paul and the others I've mentioned, we need each other. We can't think that we can do this on our own and that's even a good thing. But we need each other. That's what Paul exemplifies for us here. He demonstrates as we're waiting for the day whenever Jesus is going to return, we need each other. And as much as ever, as the battle is raging for our souls, we need the encouragement that comes from those who are striving to be useful to the master of the house. And lastly, be gracious with each other. Take the lead in pursuing these kind of relationships. Know that we need each other, but at the same time also be gracious with each other. Mark and Paul, at one point, they weren't seeing eye to eye. They weren't getting along. They were in disagreement, but that doesn't mean that that friendship, that relationship wasn't worth being had. Be gracious with each other. James 1, verses 19 through 21 says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Let's be slow to speak and slow to anger. Be gracious with each other. May we put into action Paul's earlier encouragement that we would be a people who are pursuing righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And so while Paul knows that friendships are a gift, the reality is that at all times people may not always be able to be present, and they cannot meet all our needs. There is only one person who can meet our needs, and that's Jesus. And look at where he goes in verse 16. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. Who is there in the moment of his greatest need? Jesus. Jesus was the one. It was our Savior. It was our Lord who knew fully what it was like to experience isolation, the loss of friendships, as he hung on the cross, as he was despised and rejected. And Paul's wanting to bring it all down right here at the end to the most encouraging word, that no matter what happens, no matter what we're going through in our lives, no matter the hurt, the pain, the struggle, the discouragement, the disappointment, no matter what, the only one that you can rely on is Jesus. And he's saying, trust him. He will never let you down. He's saying to every single one of us today that in the midst of whatever it is that we are facing, that you can trust him. He will never let you down. And so while I want to encourage you this morning to be the friend, to be the brother, to be the sister, who takes the lead and encourages and builds up brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that you'll know that kind of friendship. But if that relationship isn't there, I want you to be encouraged to know that Jesus is there. He always will be, and that he is sufficient. You might be here, you might be feeling all alone, you can feel alone and isolated for all kinds of reasons. But be encouraged by this. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And so I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. This morning, what song? Christopher was talking about a song. We don't have time for a song here at the end. But what song comes to all of our minds whenever we talk about Jesus and what a great friend he is? Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is with me to the end. Jesus, what a strength and weakness. Let me hide myself in him. Tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, he, my strength, my victory wins. Jesus, what a help in sorrow. While the billows over me roll, even when my heart is breaking, he, my comfort, helps my soul. Jesus, what a guide and keeper. While the tempest still is high, storms about me, night overtakes me, he, my pilot, hears my cry. Jesus, I do now receive him. Or Jesus, I do now adore him. More than all in him I find, he hath granted me forgiveness. I am his and he is mine. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we are here and have just taken, had just a little bit of time to look to your word this morning, I pray that we would be encouraged in regards to our relationships, our friendships. And Lord, that we would be intentional in pursuing those that are going to spur us on to know you and to love you more, to encourage us in all the things that are honoring and glorifying to you. God, maybe we are in those kind of relationships and for whatever reason there is some disagreement and there just isn't some harmony going on there in unity. And so Lord, maybe this morning it's just a reminder to be gracious with each other. Lord, maybe we're here and we think, oh, we don't need that and we can just make it on our own. May we be reminded that we need each other But wherever we are, Lord, and you know our hearts and you know our situations, you know our circumstances, and maybe right now it's a time whenever we just need you. And we need to be reminded that you are with us through it all. In the midst of the hurt and the pain, the struggle, and just the wondering what the right next step is, God, to know that you are a friend like no other. Closer than a brother. And Lord, that we would just draw near to you and sense your nearness and your presence, and that you would lead us on. In your name we pray. Amen.